No Christian can bear to have too much when others have too little. And God has given us so much, He expects that we'll share it with others.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Psalm 23, we're taught in this passage that David could say without fear of hypocrisy, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the product or the blessing of that relationship was that he could say, "I shall not want." We've seen the outline already as we flow through the thought there that's in the 23rd Psalm. "I shall not want for rest," David says. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not want for restoration. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for regulation. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He regulates me according to his own principles of righteousness. I shall not want for refuge. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I shall not want for resources. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." All of the resources that I have need of, I can expect that they shall be supplied. Now we come to this part of the psalm that deals with refreshment. There are two basic ideas here. The first thing I see is the shepherd's special superintendence. He leadeth me. It speaks, one, of divine salvation. Two, of our human limitations. We stand in need of this leadership. And three, of this gentle persuasion, which we can resist. But if we resist it, we do it to our own ruination. Now there's a second point in that phrase. Do you notice? Not only the shepherd's special superintendence, but I want you to see as well the shepherd's special supply. Where does he lead me? The Bible says he leadeth me beside the still waters. That is the shepherd's special supply. Now, there are two ideas that I want to talk about here for just a moment. I want you to see, first of all, the implications of the still waters. One, the still waters speak, I think, of the frailty of the sheep. And two, they speak of the energy of the shepherd in providing for the sheep. Now, let's look for just a moment at the integration of this living water into our lives. And I wonder if you'd turn with me to a New Testament passage. John 7. And verses 37 to 39. And I see in here a pattern by which we can integrate into our lives this living water of which David spoke here in the Old Testament psalm. The Bible says, John 7, 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, dispensationally, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he was given on the day of Pentecost, and we enjoy the benefits of that presence today in our day and age." Now, what do you see as you look at those three verses? There's an invitation here, that's in verse 37. There's a clarification here, that's in verse 38. So we understand it very precisely. The truth is expanded and clarified. And there's an identification here. We're told precisely how it is that we can experience this refreshment and this vital union, this spake he of the Spirit. Now look at the invitation in verse 37. As I see it, there are three important points there. I see the setting. It was the last day, that great day of the feast. I see the solemnity or the sobriety of this invitation. He stood and he cried. I see the summons. Come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What was it more precisely? Do you notice the summons? The Bible says, verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." There's the summons. Do you notice there are two things in that summons? We are summoned to forsake all lesser loyalties. Come unto me. What does that involve? That is a very exclusive claim. Jesus Christ is saying there is no other way. You can be saved in no other context. You must come unto me. It means you must forsake all lesser loyalties. Coming unto Jesus means leaving everything else behind. It means repentance. It means turning your back on the ugly things of the former way of life and looking up into the face of Jesus Christ and acknowledging that only He can meet your needs. It means an inner surrender to the Son of God and a refusal to allow anything else to have first place in your life. Come unto me and leave everything else behind. That's what we did when we became Christians, when we accepted Christ as our Savior. There is a forsaking of all lesser loyalties, come unto me, and there is a following of Jesus Christ alone. He says, drink. Do you notice? Drink. And it speaks, I believe, of total preoccupation with Jesus Christ. It speaks of total absorption of the Son of God into our being. It's a metaphor. Drink of me. Total preoccupation with the Son of God, total absorption of Jesus Christ into our being. Nothing else will do. Nothing will provide us with the necessary credentials to gain access into heaven apart from that. Now, do you notice in verse 38, I don't have time to develop it, but in verse 38, we have sort of an expansion, a clarification of this. He that believeth on me, that's the act. That's the same as saying, come and drink. To believe on Jesus means to come to Jesus and drink of him. Open up your heart to him, receive him. It's the essence of belief. Biblical belief translates mental belief into a decisive act of trust. It means you will come and you will drink. There may be some of you listening to my voice, you have mental belief. But biblical faith translates mental belief into a decisive act of trust. It involves the activity of the will. If you've never yet decided at a point in time to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to drink of Him, so to speak, to come unto Him, then you are not saved. You're outside the fold. You cannot say without hypocrisy, the Lord is my shepherd. You are in great peril, and we invite you to come. We invite you to come. The act, he that believeth on me, the authority, as the Scripture hath said. In other words, our faith, as we proclaim it from this pulpit, is grounded not in some human emotion. It is grounded on the unshakable authority and the unmovable foundation of the holy word of God, as the Scripture hath said. And I want you to notice beyond the act and the authority, I want you to see the affluence. Do you see what God gives to us? The Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus is saying two things. He's saying, one, I do a copious work. You say, what is copious? It means abundant. It means plentiful. I do a copious work. Rivers of living water shall flow out of your inner man. In other words, God's children enjoy abundance of life. I thank God for this life that we enjoy through Jesus Christ. I've never found this life to be easy, but I have found it to be great. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Out of your inner man will flow rivers of living water. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God never intended to impoverish anybody. He enriches everybody that trusts him. God does a copious work. Finally, God does a comprehensive work. Out of his belly, koileos is the Greek word. It's a homely word, belly. It means out of his inner being. It means literally body cavity. It's used in Luke 1:42 of the womb and the uterus. It means at the very core of his being. Metaphorically, it means in his heart. God does a comprehensive work, not only a copious work, but he does a comprehensive work. He gets the job done, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Humanity does not need a new education. It doesn't need a new economy. It doesn't need a new environment. It needs a new heart. And only God can give him that. Only God can do that. And that's exactly what he says he'll do. Out of his inner man, from the very core of his being, from the inside out, I'll transform. This begins on the inside, but you notice it flows to the outside. That's why I say it's a comprehensive work. Out of his inner man, out of his belly, shall flow. And literally, the word is hreo, is the Greek word, and it means shall overflow. It means you will have more than enough. You will have enough to satisfy your thirst, and you will have enough to satisfy others as you share it with them, as you become an active witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. No Christian can bear to have too much when others have too little. And God has given us so much, He expects that we'll share it with others. And then He says, in terms of identification, that this is a work of the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence within us. God Himself takes up residence within us and provides us with this living water which quenches all of our thirst. So David could say, I close now. David could say, He leadeth me beside the still waters. And when he said that, he meant to show us, one, the shepherd's special superintendence. He leadeth me. And the shepherd's special supply beside the still waters. Jesus Christ quieted the torrential floodwaters of God's righteous wrath against our sins. He did that when he died on the cross. The waters are now still. We can come and drink from the wells of salvation. Now I want to ask you, have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Until you drink of the wells of salvation, until you come unto me and drink, as Jesus said, until you have done that, there is frailty, there is fear, there is frustration, there is starving thirst, if I can mix my metaphors, there is starving thirst. We invite you to come. Come to Christ. Not to this church, any institution, any ritual, any sacrament, any preacher, pope, or priest. Come to Christ and receive you as your Lord and Savior, and He'll satisfy your thirsts. And then let me ask you this. You say, Pastor, I'm sheep of His fold. I thank God for that. He spoke to me. I came. I drank. I believed. And His Spirit took up residence within me. Then let me ask you this. We're sheep of His fold. Praise God. But do we allow Him to lead us? He leadeth me, David said. Do we allow our shepherd to lead us, or are we always resisting His gentle persuasion? Do we violate His universal, non-optional principles? Do we know what is right and refuse to do it? We're sheep of His fold. He gave His life for us. How can we do that? Have we returned to the cisterns of this world only to find that they are polluted, diseased, and empty? Are we allowing the indwelling Holy Spirit, our source of vitality and refreshment, to do His mighty work first inside of us? Out of His inner man shall flow these things? And then outside of us, as it flows over and we share it with other people, are we allowing Him to do His work in us? These are probing questions which each of us must answer honestly and humbly before the Lord. David could say, I have a vital union with my God, and there's a vitality and a refreshment because of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
One of the great tragedies of our age is the appalling lack of wisdom.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.